going to head now into the last portion here of this series we've been in. Why feel free to contradict the terms and the names that God uses for the various issues or dispensings, things that God dispenses to us. This will be titled, well, it's kind of in between. It's going to be about the mystery of Christ. But I'm going to have to title it what it's called today. It's not called the mystery of Christ by most people. When they mean the mystery of Christ, they use the words dispensation of the grace of God. And the Bible uses the term dispensation of the grace of God. So I in the past have referred to this one as being a double error. It's hard to ferret out the truth of it and dispense with get rid of the error, but it's not a momentous thing either. It's better to understand God's word as it was written rather than to make up something or just fall into the use of a term because people before us used it. It's better to use the Bible terms. Let's go through some verses about it. A couple verses here. Ephesians 3, chapter 3, verse 4. And then we'll look at Romans 16, verse 25. Ephesians 3, verse 4 first. Whereby, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Paul speaking there. And then in Romans 16:25 about the mystery. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and inferred there at the according to the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery. What kind of preaching of Jesus Christ? Preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, not according to prophecy, in other words. Not according to what had been told about him in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, in Isaiah, Psalms, etc. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. So that is not a gospel or a preaching of Jesus Christ that is in the Old Testament or in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. So the Bible label for what we're talking about is the mystery of Christ, and the description would be it's just as the name says, Christ, known for 3 years as Israel's Messiah. Before we go into the definition of the mystery of Christ, let's look at that, that he was known as the Messiah. Look at John, and I'll post this, John 4, verses 24 and 25. Pardon me, I did take cough syrup, but it's not, anyway. God is a, that's not the right one. John 4, 24, those are the right verses for that, but not, let me try 3 here. That's not it either, I don't think. You know what it might be? I do this a lot of times. It might be Matthew 4:24. No, that's not it either. Well, I'll have to skip that. Or else take a little bit longer here. Let's try John 3. Did I try John 3? And I don't have my... Does somebody have Esword or Theophilus open that they could look up Messiah or Messias? I think it is. and that are MESSIA asterisk, and I should be able to find it. It bugs me that I can't. let's see. I thought for sure it was... Where is the resurrection? Oh, here it is. Yeah, okay, John 4, 25. That's... I can't get my mouse isn't working right. The woman said unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he cometh, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. Am who? Am the Messiah that she referred to. Jesus said, I am the Messiah. So those that wanted to know could know. Those that wanted to resist, of course, they did resist. And they were hardened in that resistance to the point that they crucified him. But Christ, back to the definition or the meaning of mystery of Christ. Mystery, of course, is another word for an untold secret, or if it's a told mystery, it's a told secret. But the mystery of Christ, what was the mystery of Christ? He came back from heaven, and that's how it's identified. It's not the mystery of angels telling us these things, or the mystery of somebody else come to tell us, come back from heaven to tell us. No, it's the mystery of Christ. Christ coming back from heaven to Damascus, Syria, to say, apart from Israel, in other words, to save sinner Saul of Tarsus and reveal to him Christ's long-held secret of several things, including salvation for all that believe that the resurrected Messiah had died for their sins and risen for their justification. Another thing that's part of this secret is the body of Christ. Another thing, the catching up of the body of Christ. And also another thing would be our eternal home in heaven, not in the land. First time that was known about or preached. Well, the traditional label, as we said, tradition, preachers, a lot of Bible teachers, they'll call it this whole mystery of Christ, they'll call it the dispensation of the grace of God, thinking, you know, it's a different salvation and this is the name of it. Well, it's not exactly true, because that same gospel of salvation was originally within the mystery of Christ. It was called a dispensation of the gospel to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And you can't just ignore that period, because six books written by Paul were about that period and include instructions specifically for those kind of people that were Jews or Greeks. It doesn't include me. I don't know about you, but I'm not a Jew or a Greek. Not in the Bible sense, anyway. So, but there's a problem. It's a problem to take what the Bible calls the mystery of Christ and to rename it the dispensation of the grace of God, which is what God labels the new way he dispenses his salvation now, after it was to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Now he's dispensing it to everybody. It's a general dispensation to anyone that will believe. It's a problem because the mystery of Christ is the entire new pattern that Christ revealed to Paul, that had been hidden in God before Acts 9. You can't find it in Acts 8 or anywhere before Acts 9. You can't find that salvation, the way of being saved. The gospel, that gospel is not there. You search for it, and if you refuse to look for it after Acts 9, you'll just not have the gospel, not believe the gospel. You won't have it. It's not there. It was all that had been kept secret, according to Romans 16:25. The mystery of Christ included much more than the new pattern of salvation. The mystery of Christ was all the parts of the secret that Christ kept to himself before the due time to save sinner Saul. The mystery of Christ included the believer's home in heaven, our not being under the Mosaic law, our newly revealed gospel of salvation in the gospel of Christ and the gospel of the grace of God, and the catching up of the body of Christ before Jacob's trouble. And it included all those body of Christ prophets that knew all mysteries, according to 1 Corinthians 13:2, and that acknowledged the inspired scriptures written by Paul, according to 1 Corinthians 14:37. They had a place in that mystery of Christ, in the bringing to us of the Bible, the canon of the scriptures. So it's called, the Bible calls it, the mystery of Christ. If you look in Joel, specifically Joel 2:23, I'm going to read, though, from 21 through 27, and let me just get these up here if I can. Joel 2, starting with verse 21. This is to see that there was a gap. There is a legitimate Bible gap between Israel's former reign and Israel's latter reign. In fact, I can do this. Let me just get this all cued here. All right. To start with, fear not. This is verse 21 in Joel 2. Fear not, O land. Be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. Be not afraid, you beasts of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness do spring. For the tree beareth her fruit, the fig tree and the vine do yield their strength. And here's the verse that we... Oh, I missed it. Wait. the thing moved. There we go. All right. Now, what's... it's after me, I'm telling you. I'm making like I'm persecuted here. The fact is that I should have changed the battery in my mouse before I started, so... Anyway, we're at verse 23. Be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain, in the first month, and the floors shall be full of wheat and fat, the fats shall overflow and the wines. I will restore to you the years, this is verse 25, the years that the locust hath eaten, the cankerworm, the caterpillar, and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you. All those troubles that they had from nation to nation, you know, Ai, the plagues, the captivities. Verse 26, and you shall eat plenty. So this is after all that. You shall eat plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God, that he hath dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed, and ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God, and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed." Okay, there's a gap there that's noted. Look in Hosea 1, verses 9 and 10. Hosea 1, 9 says, "Then said God, call his name, Lo am I, for you are not my people, and I will not be your God." Verse 10, now this is after the gap. There's a gap. You'll see that there's, we just read the first part, and then there's a gap, and then the second part comes along. "Yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured nor numbered. And it shall come to pass," there's progress, progressive revelation, "it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, you are not my people, there it shall be said unto them," not unto us, unto them, unto Israel that was not God's people, it shall be said unto them, "You are the sons of the living God." So there they're brought back after that gap, and we're in that gap. 2,000 years almost already. Look in Jeremiah 12, 14 and 15. I can find that. Jeremiah. It's hard. remember that commercial about Shaq trying to dunk the ball with a moving basket? Well, that's the way this is. I go to click and the mouse moves on its own. All right, enough commentary. Jeremiah 12:14 says, "Thus saith the Lord against all mine evil neighbors," my evil neighbors. In other words, well, let me just go on. That touch the inheritance which I have caused my people to inherit. Behold, I will pluck them out of their land and pluck out the house of Judah from among them. Verse 15, did I post that? No, let me get that up there. So he says, "I will pluck out the house of Judah from among them, and it shall come to pass that after that I have plucked them out, I will return and have compassion on them, and will bring them again, every man to his heritage and every man to his land." That's talking about after the catching up, when Christ returns. There's a big gap between what happened to Israel already and what this is prophesying about. Those references to that gap are proof that God has provided ahead of time for there to be a different way to access him and his salvation during that gap. And that he had kept it secret from everyone before Paul, including keeping it secret from Peter, James, John, Jude, Mark, Luke, Matthew, and Israel's 12 apostles. Kept it secret. That's the mystery under which we live. And part of it, yes, part of it is the dispensation of the grace of God. God's grace being dispensed to us, that we just have to believe and we have to not work for it. We have to believe that Christ died for our sins, and that settled it. That was the propitiation. It settled the account with God. That's all I've got. So if you have any comments or questions, please bring them up.